Hi, everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast bonus episode. I am your host, and with me, as always, is my teenage son, Jackson. Say hello, Jack.
Hello, Jack.
We're back in the studio yet again.
Yep.
We are prolific podcasters these days, huh?
Yep.
Multiple shows a week for everybody. So yeah, we're back sort of a couple days after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So we decided, we thought, why not? We've got some time. Let's review it. I'm not saying we liked it as much as TakeOver.
But we've been getting some good...
Yeah, we've got some decent listenership on our sort of reviews of pay-per-view. So we thought we'd throw one in here. We won't
see how it does.
Not to spoil anything, but I definitely won't be as positive about this pay-per-view as I was about Vengeance Day NXT. But
yeah,
I thought there were some good parts to this as well, so we will see, I guess. Do you want to get right into it, or do you have anything you wanted to discuss?
Got new figures?
Yes, your mother took a little trip to Walmart, since we're allowed to kind of do things now, so she went into Walmart and
for a grocery run,
noticed
they had some good stuff. They had some Showdown 2-packs, Series 2. There was like Orton and Cena and Triple H and Rock, and there's also some of the WrestleMania basics and elites.
Right.
And then the ones I got Elite 80, Kevin Owens, and Ricochet.
That you're going to stop tapping on the table while
we're recording? Just setting them up.
I know, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so you got lucky. You got a couple. Mom's in a good mood probably from your report card and whatnot. So she picked you up a unexpected delight. So that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're just in the midst of our work week and school week, so we thought we'd take a break, come down here.
And I also got lots of onion ring chips.
Jack's checking out the new lighting. I got some... LED strip lights for my birthday.
Yeah, I think that's what they are.
So I put them around in the studio that I promise will at some point get video of a podcast and get it up there. But so far it hasn't happened, but it will. So yeah, anyways, thank you for joining us again. We'll get out our sort of if you'd like to contact us. We've had a couple big days in terms of listeners. So welcome everybody that's been checking us out. Thanks so much. We hope you liked it enough to stick around and come back again. If you'd like to contact us, fnswrestling@gmail.com or fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you. Any sort of feedback is always welcome.
Yep.
Well, I say we move into the pay-per-view. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a few moments to talk about Elimination Chamber 2021. So did you end up watching the kickoff? We didn't watch it right away. I actually went back and just watched the match. Did you see it at all?
No.
Okay, so the kickoff show, I watched nothing else because I honestly can't stand watching the kickoff show panels. It's just not...
They pick such horrible people to do it.
And they're just
time.
Not talking about... I don't know. It just doesn't do
anything
for me.
And it's always kayfabe, too. It's not like it's interesting.
Yes, it is.
I mean, what do you expect? But still...
So the kickoff show match saw John Morrison defeat Elias, Mustafa Ali, and Ricochet in a fatal four-way.
Superstar lineup right there.
Yes. Fatal four-way match. So the win means Morrison will take Keith Lee's spot in the U.S. title match later in the show. So I thought Ricochet and Ali, no surprise, looked pretty good in this. It wasn't really a bad match. It was not very long, but it was a sprint, right?
Honestly,
so there was lots
though,
of
given
good
the,
action.
Sorry, the lackluster state of the main card, I would have... been fine with this as like an opener, just like something else on the card.
I thought it was a fun little sprint, but it made Retribution, believe it or not, look really bad again. Because correct me if I'm wrong, there's no DQ in a four-way match,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they say that all the time.
So they were just surrounding ringside, but never really did anything. They did eventually interfere, and it did have an effect on the outcome of the match. But I thought, like, what's stopping them from just, if they're this group of nihilist, violent, vigilante, whatever they're supposed to be, why wouldn't they just destroy everybody and Ali wins? And it would almost be more interesting that way because they're trying to get their leader a title spot. But anyways, so the match ended with a distraction roll-up, basically. They did run, I think it was Ali into the ring post, or sorry, and somebody into the ring
Ricochet.
Post outside. Ricochet. It actually looked pretty good. Two of them, the two bigger of Retribution, right? Who are what? T-Bar and Mace?
Yep.
Look at me knowing stuff.
Dijakovic and Dio Madden.
So yeah, they sort of like double power bombed him, I guess, for lack of a better term, into the ring post. And then as Ali was looking at that, sort of he got... rolled up by Morrison, of course. So it was basically like the classic WWE main roster distraction roll-up that happens all the time, which was a little bit annoying.
You get to make your stupid faction look stupid.
Right. And again, in my opinion, coming out of this match, it's not like the winner of this has a chance in the title match anyways. So again,
right.
They make the choice to further bury two young dynamic talents, in my opinion, in Ali and Ricochet, and favor a 40-year-old guy who's never made it to the main event.
By having this match, you're kind of giving away the outcome of the match, because if Lashley is going to retain, they can just keep it a one-on-one match.
It's exactly what we predicted, right? That they're getting the title off of Lashley, but not by him losing it, basically, right? Which is what we kind of expected. So, I mean, bottom line, this match wasn't bad. I didn't dislike it. I actually preferred it to at least one thing on the main show, which I guess we could move into now, right?
Yep.
All right, so the show proper starts with a hype video focusing on the two chamber matches, along with some of the past highlights from previous chamber matches. And then we get a reminder that the winner of the SmackDown chamber will have a title match sort of directly after that win. And then we get the big classic pyro display to start the show, and the chamber is already surrounding the ring, right? So sort of letting us know that we're moving right into one of the chamber matches. Mm-hmm. And then we get, I don't know if you noticed, but like another video package about the chamber and the winner getting a title shot.
Yeah, I noticed they're only showing clips of people in the chamber match.
Right.
Matches.
It's not like the packages were bad, but it just seemed like there were a lot of them before we even started, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we start out with the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match, which is Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, King Corbin, Jey Uso, Daniel Bryan, and Cesaro. And as they told us, the winner of this faces Roman Reigns for the Universal title immediately after this match, right? So Cesaro and Bryan start out, which I thought was a great choice, and they did an awesome job. Like, I was sort of into this match right away from the first, whatever it was, 5 minutes that they were in. But notice there was no countdowns or anything, and I felt like the times really varied. It was basically like by...
kind of like the Rumble.
Yeah, kind of by spot, right? Like, okay, when this happens, then the next person comes out, regardless of whether it was 5 minutes or 10 or whatever. There was no indication. They just told us, right, that it was regular intervals or something. Mm-hmm. So Corbin comes in next, and he basically attacks both of them because they're now weak from fighting each other, Daniel Bryan and Cesaro. Bryan at this point is selling his knee. Corbin dominates basically that entire time until Sami Zayn is the next one to enter. And I think Sami Ray didn't want to come out of the pod right away. I think that was his part of his thing. So he does eventually get in and is dominated to start his time. Eventually makes his way to the top of one of the pods. And then basically Cesaro's kind of climbing up after him. So Zayn is climbing along the side of the pod. There's sort of a bar there. I don't know what you would call it.
Right. So
he's making his way across it. But Cesaro kicks him off for what was, I guess, the first kind of big bump of the night.
And what was kind of weird is that the ref got rid of his documentary crew that he had.
Oh,
which is kind of weird. And I'll talk about that again later.
But left almost in the one later?
Yeah, I'll just say that now then.
Oh, sorry. That's what you were going to say.
Yeah, but so in the other match, almost does play a role in the match.
Right.
Right. So you're going to kick out a harmless documentary crew for this psycho heel, right? They're just filming, right? But you're going to leave a giant...
Who's known for interfering.
Who's known for interfering in matches until he actually does something. Because we don't know that he's going to do something. But once he does something, he has to get out.
Yeah, that's true.
But documentary crew, get out of here right away. No, yeah. You're not allowed here.
You people have nothing to do with wrestling and have never done anything.
Right.
We're just going to err to the side of caution.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just kind of weird.
You're right.
And stupid.
Cesaro then hits a Cesaro swing and a sharpshooter on Corbin, and Corbin is the first to be eliminated by submission, which makes sense to me as well.
Which also made me happy.
Right, I don't need to see him really at this point. Owens enters the match next, and Zayn sort of takes a moment, and the mics pick it up, right? Sort of pleading him to join forces, like, we go way back, et cetera, et cetera. We have a history. So there's a slight tease that Owens might, but of course he doesn't, and he attacks Zayn instead. So we now have all four men in the ring hitting big moves as sort of Uso is just sitting in his pod watching kind of calmly, which I thought was kind of cool. He finally does enter, and he and Owens immediately begin to brawl with each other. A little bit later, Owens hits a moonsault off the top of the pod, which looked nice, but again, it was the four guys huddled underneath, right? I know how else are you going to do it, but it does look a little bit contrived in this sort of what's supposed to be a crazy dangerous match. He follows up with stunners on Cesaro, Bryan, and Zayn, and actually he uses the stunner to Zayn to eliminate him, so Sami Zayn is gone as well. So I like this part a lot, right? As Zayn, because I don't remember this happening before, correct me if I'm wrong, as Zayn was removed from the chamber, Uso uses that opportunity to slam the sliding door on Kevin Owens' arm, which I thought looked really good. And then delivered a whole bunch of kicks right to his face, basically, right?
Yeah, a bunch of, like, super kicks and stuff. I thought that was really clever. And I don't think I've seen that either. Like, I don't
recall. And is it always a sliding door? I don't even remember if that's the case. It is. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought this was a...
At least on, like, the newer design. Yeah. Like, that they've had since 2017. I think the other one, it swung out, but at least on this design, yes.
I thought that was a pretty clever use of it.
Yeah.
And so then Uso hits a top rope, I put in brackets because it was annoying both of us, not frog splash.
I know, they keep saying it's a frog splash.
Just a regular splash.
Right, and he's been doing this for years and they haven't called it a frog splash. It's like, I don't get it. It's just,
it's not, a frog splash. Like, no. But anyways, frog splash or not, Owens is eliminated by Jey Uso.
Which I thought was interesting because I think he wasn't going to win, but I at least thought he would last longer, I guess.
Owens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Uso looked good in this match too, and I guess he's been getting some attention lately, right? Not that I've seen much of it, but I hear things.
I think he should finally do something though. I think he could be the guy who beats Big E.
He's good.
If we're giving tag guys a chance now, right?
Right. We then get another lengthy segment with Bryan and Cesaro battling each other.
Yeah,
and
I thought, I was like, is Jey Uso even still here?
And
like,
I thought it was awesome
again.
They
just kept battling.
I could watch Bryan and Cesaro all day, I'm pretty sure, after seeing this.
Oh, yeah, but they won't give you that.
No. Cesaro tries to take advantage of Bryan's bad knee by hitting a Cesaro swing while holding just the bad leg.
I thought that was clever. Simple, but clever.
And I think right around here, I didn't make a note of it, but remember he hit like the top rope gut buster as well to Bryan, I think? Where he sort of came off the top.
Oh,
and it
was the gut wrench, gut buster. Yeah, I know what you're talking
from the top down to the, and he sort of dropped him on both of his knees. I think that looked pretty cool. But as he gets hit by an Uso super kick then and a Samoan splash to be eliminated. So Cesaro is gone and that leaves us just Uso and Daniel Bryan for a shot at Roman Reigns. Uso goes up top of the pod for another splash, but Bryan gets his knees up and follows with the running knee to score the final elimination and win. So I was sort of expecting Uso and Bryan to have a little bit longer of a one-on-one at the end, but it was over pretty quickly.
They definitely could have.
Daniel Bryan wins the match and the opportunity to face Roman Reigns right away. What did you think of the match?
So before I do that, you called it, right?
I did.
And I went with Cesaro. But I think Bryan was a good choice, if not Cesaro, so.
I agree. I just knew they were never going to give the crowd what they want.
Yeah, true. Especially when everyone's calling it too, right?
Exactly.
Because that's, we'll talk more about Miz later, but he was supposed to win that, remember, the WrestleMania 32 ladder match? And then they're like, haha, you think he's going to win? We'll make Zack Ryder win. But then he loses the belt next night.
Right.
So it's like kind of like that.
Yep.
But anyways, I thought this was a good match. Bryan and Cesaro were MVPs. They had multiple great stretches. And Jey Uso looked really good in this match, I thought. Kind of like Drew McIntyre in the one we watched recently.
Yep, a good showing.
He had the cool thing he did to Owens with the door, which I thought was creative and
Me
unique.
Too.
He looked good eliminating Owens and Cesaro. I thought it was just kind of cool and kind of sneaky when he superkicked Cesaro mid-swing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of clever as well. And like I said, if not Cesaro, I think Bryan was a good choice for the winner and thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed this one as well. It was a good start to the show.
Right, another good PG era chamber match.
I thought everybody looked good in this, especially Bryan and Cesaro. I agree, they were fantastic.
Corbin was kind of like a Big Show in this match.
And, yeah, he was. He feels like, I was saying, I think while we were watching, he feels like the new Kane. He's going to be the big man that can kind of work that they involve when they want a big man in every match sort of thing.
Yeah.
There were no real death-defying spots in this one, right? But there were no real lulls either. I thought the pace was pretty steady.
Right, kind of like the one that we watched. Like there doesn't always have to be those big spots, right?
No, and Bryan and Cesaro set a fast pace to start, right? And then I think it sort of just carried through, and I really enjoyed the first match of the show. And then kind of, especially once I compared it to the other chamber match on the show, but we'll get to that point, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So we then, as we knew we were going to get a Universal Championship match immediately following, so Roman Reigns does come down and he's going to face Daniel Bryan. So basically Reigns tries to hit a spear right off the bat, but Bryan rolled through into a yes lock just for a nice little maybe he has a chance, right?
I thought that was interesting because I wasn't expecting this. Like, obviously, he wasn't going to win, but, like, I thought this was a cool way of just kind of catching off guard real quick.
Just for half a second, like, you could maybe think he has a chance, but, of course, Reigns powers out, and that's about it for Bryan there. There's big punches and elbows, and then Reigns locks Bryan in a guillotine choke, and the ref eventually stops the match because Bryan is out. Then Reigns celebrates, Edge predictably runs to the ring, hits a spear before we get our first point at the WrestleMania sign, of course. And he has made his decision that we all knew he was making weeks ago, that he would use his Royal Rumble victory to challenge Roman Reigns. and your thoughts on this brief little match, if you can call it that.
There was no other way this could or was going to go. I like Brian, though, immediately getting the yes lock, because it was unexpected. I thought it was like a cool way of like surprising you, but yeah, like you knew it was gonna
to give him a little something, right?
Right.
Yep.
But Reigns eventually got the easy and predictable win. Edge choosing to challenge Reigns was predictable, but also stupid. Edge is way past his prime. I'm going to rip on him right now. And Reigns is for sure in his prime in the ring because he's been good for years, but I think he's really in his prime as a character. So
for sure,
what
no
chance
doubt.
Does this old man have?
Yeah.
I think, sorry,
go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish.
Edge coming back last year, I thought, was a great moment. Like, I was happy for him because, like, he would have to go through a lot for that, right? And he kind of had to retire when he didn't want to, kind of like Daniel Bryan. So it was cool that he was able to come back, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But he should not be near the main event in any capacity. He's taken a spot in the main, in what'll likely be a main event, right? Because there's the two nights.
There are.
From a younger, more deserving guy like Shinsuke Nakamura or Cesaro, right?
Yep.
And it's also been so long since he's been a popular or prominent, and he's much older, so his credibility is waning as a viable contender, especially in the main event. Hopefully a decent match can be produced, though. And since Mania is two nights, hopefully this could at best main event night one.
No.
But rather that, I would actually, since I've heard rumors Balor's defending the belt, he should main event against Dunn, Cole, and O'Reilly in a four-way, because that would be great.
This
but why would that happen?
This is your night two main event, my friend.
Yeah.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Edge in ring, even. It's just that whole, and you, it's part of what bugs you, is there's
even
a younger
style,
person,
right?
That like that's a
yeah.
spot somebody else should have been built into, and
right,
you haven't
and
done
even
it.
Even his in-ring style, yeah, you're right, it's
and
fine.
And you have the talent
like,
there to build somebody. There's so many right. guys you could build, but you haven't, so now you're relying on Edge coming back.
Right, and I think he's not bad
me.
Still, right?
No,
but
he's
like,
not.
But like we saw him in that chamber match we were watching, but I don't think he's that good anymore, right? Like he's
yeah.
not that. He's not the same Edge. He's like very sports entertainment now, I find. Like
maybe
he's
that's
less
what they
wrestling,
want, though, I
right?
think.
So. I know, but I just think he's not as good as he was, and I think he's, like we said, taking a spot from someone who deserves
yep,
it more.
There's many other people I
so
would
many
prefer
people.
To be elevated to that spot rather than right. sort of bringing him back to it.
I mean, he is at least better than Goldberg, but...
True. But regarding this championship match, it was about everything I expected, and I guess it was fine. But, I mean, technically, it's a championship match on a pay-per-view, so I can't say it was amazing or anything, obviously. Reigns doesn't look any better to me. Like, if you look at the result, does someone look better, or what, did someone get something
like
out of it?
I feel like this is a lousy excuse to get another match
right?
on the card.
He doesn't look any better, because, of course, this was what's going to happen. Bryan doesn't really gain anything.
Right, he was able to, dominate, like, Jey Uso and Kevin Owens in a normal match.
Right. And you're getting Brian after this. And
right. Does he have any chance? Like,
so I don't think Brian got anything other than, I guess he got one move in. He can hang his hat on that. Somewhat of a waste of time, to be honest, but it's consistent with how Reigns is being booked right now. So it's fine. Predictable for me, and not in the good way, because sometimes we say predictable is okay. Right. But I didn't enjoy
it
really.
I think that's mostly in AEW when there's at least clever storytelling.
And at this point, I mean, is even Edge a credible opponent? Do we really think Edge is going to win at Mania? I
right.
don't.
Reigns is like
but maybe.
Literally at his peak, I think, and Edge is far from it.
And I don't follow the main roster enough to know, but I don't feel like anyone's going to beat Reigns still. So
no,
maybe
I mean, not even like for the
they
year
have,
maybe.
They have time to build him, right? It's not until April, so they could build Edge into something credible, but right now he just looks like the grizzled old veteran coming back for one last run, right?
Right, and I think Reigns is just so good right now. Like, you're really gonna ruin it with some guy from star from the past when he's finally like actually good. Like, people are actually saying he's good and not like hating him when he's not supposed to be hated. You know, like, I feel like he's actually proper now. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yep. There. I don't know. This is a choice I would not make, but that's
right.
the route
like,
they're
I
going.
Feel like
so we'll see.
If they go with Edge, they're kind of ruining Reigns when he's finally hit his stride.
Yep. Well, we could talk about that all day. Let's
yeah.
move into the next
I think
segment.
We both knew he was going to win, but I don't
we
even
did.
Think we made I made like an official prediction because we didn't know who was going to win, so.
No. So backstage, we get Sonya Deville telling Bad Bunny that winning the 24/7 title was impressive. She starts to tell him that she was there if he needs anything, but Miz interrupts. Miz asks Bunny, I feel weird saying that, what he was doing there. Bunny points out that he's 24/7 champion and asks Miz if he's champion, foreshadowing much. Ooh. Miz shoves Bunny, who responds with a slap. When Miz turns around, Damian Priest is standing in front of Bad Bunny. Miz left the scene, and Priest and Bunny laugh and shake hands.
They're making Priest look so stupid.
So I don't know. I don't have anything to say about this. I'm just acknowledging that it happened.
I'm just going to say that they renamed Priest Finisher, and it sounds stupid now. It's called Hit the Lights. Oh my God, that's dumb. Also, I feel bad for Damian Priest.
Cut to Mia Yim being disappointed, because I bet she was hoping, oh man, they'll have to send me back down, because now there's right. two of the same thing.
Right. And I think it works better for his finisher, right, instead of a stupid gimmick, but what do I know?
Yes. So the next match on the schedule, we get the United States Championship, and it is Bobby Lashley, the champion, defending against Matt Riddle, as you would say, because if I say Riddle, you're just going to correct me.
Because Riddle sounds dumb.
Okay. And John Morrison as well, because he won his spot in on the pre-show or kickoff or whatever it's called.
Last-ditch effort to make their plans work.
So very... quickly to summarize this match, Lashley looked like a beast pretty much to start, and actually through most of it, he dominated both opponents, even as Riddle and Morrison attempt to join forces at one point. Morrison and Riddle eventually take Lashley out briefly, then battle between themselves before Lashley rejoins the match, only to be hit by a floating bro and Starship Pain for a near fall. Lashley then locks in the Morrison in the Hurt Lock, but Riddle grabs MVP's crutch that had been stolen by Morrison a bit earlier and uses it to attack Lashley before hitting Morrison with the Bro Derek to score the win and take the title. So new United States champion, Matt Riddle. Thoughts on the match?
Bro Derek. They must be listening to the pod, because here and on Raw, he's used the Bro Derek to win.
As per your request,
bro.
I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
That was my suggestion. So they're listening to the podcast. So,
undoubtedly,
WWE, hey, take Edge out of the main event and also book Shayna Baszler better. Thanks.
Yep.
So the outcome was kind of obvious. If, like I said earlier, if they wanted Lashley to retain, they would have just kept their singles match when Lee wasn't available. But I get the decision. I think it's smart. I think it worked, because Lashley looked fine here in losing the title. And it'll push him into the main event. And I think Lashley will be great there. I think Riddle will be great here, if booked correctly or even half decently, but who am I kidding? That's very unlikely.
Highly unlikely.
Ricochet would have been better than Morrison here, but I think I don't really want him in here, actually, if he's just going to be someone to take the pin, right?
Yep.
So I'm almost kind of glad he didn't win, but he still should look better earlier. But the match was kind of short, had some decent spots, but it's kind of standard, like, double team the big man, and then there's, like, kind of the one-on-one rotation kind of thing.
Right.
Not as good as the opener, but still, like, fine. Nothing to really say. It's, like, kind of short. Like, it felt like a TV match, if I'm being honest.
I felt it was a little better than that, but I could definitely see what you're saying. It didn't feel like grade A pay-per-view
nothing
quality.
Like, right.
It was pretty much exactly what I predicted, but I still kind of enjoyed this match, if I'm being honest. Lashley looked really strong in defeat, which is what I want for him.
Yeah, there were some good spots.
And the action between the three was pretty good. I'm happy Riddle won the title and hope they don't continue to book him as kind of a joke, but I mean, we watched a bit of Raw and it seems like they are, basically.
Right. I don't trust them.
He's a major talent, and he has, like, I find his style different from everybody.
Or it was.
And it's really fun to watch. He's still doing it where he goes on those mad flurries of just hitting.
But I still find he doesn't even do that as much.
No, and again, I don't watch a ton of main roster stuff. We usually get through a little bit of Raw and then tap out pretty quickly on it. Unfortunately, the character they've created for him on the main roster makes me want to change the channel at this point, so I'm hoping it gets better for him. I'm hoping it gets a little bit more serious, and I'm wondering, do you think Keith Lee was initially slated to win? I think it's possible.
I don't think so, because Riddle's been feuding with Lashley.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably going to go through it. And through with it.
And even though Raw has happened, because we're doing this on Tuesday, these thoughts I had before, because I talked to Jack before we watched Raw, my theory was the title's off Lashley, right? So he can move up and sort of feud with Drew for the title at Mania, which makes sense to me. And yes, even I added a note later saying, yes, I still think this is happening even after what we learn about the end of the show.
But I think if Lee were to win, I think they could have had Lashley retain here, and then, like, maybe Lee would win it at Fastlane.
Yeah.
So I think Riddle was
all we
win
know
anyways.
Is that that title was coming off Lashley, right?
Right.
And he wasn't gonna look weak losing it was what they had to figure out, I guess.
Right.
Yep. So the next match was my.
Oh, and we both predicted Riddle.
We did. This was my worst match of the night by a significant margin, I think.
Yeah.
It's the Women's Tag Team Championship with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. And we were kind of talking. It's like I was saying to you yesterday, I think. It's like Vince or whoever created an entire tag team division just to like feed into singles competitors' storylines that he feels are worthy is pretty much what it seems like so far. Anyways, getting into this match, I asked at the beginning, right, what are the chances Jax and Baszler lose this in the midst of a really hot build to a match where they're going to defend these titles, right, against Kai and Gonzalez? So again, I don't think I don't think there was any chance that the titles were changing hands, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy the match, but I did not enjoy this one. So anyways, Belair and Banks showcase their ability to work as a team to start, and Belair taunts Jax for her butt-related injuries sort of thing. Because you can hear a lot of the talking, right? So Baszler enters the match and is able to gain an advantage for her team finally. She locks in the Kirifuda clutch on Belair, but Banks tags herself in and hits an actual frog splash for a near fall. Belair later hits the kiss of death on Baszler, but Jax was able to break up the pinfall.
You know, for a while, I didn't know what that stood for, but now I think that's kind of funny just because, like,
yeah,
she's always got, like, the kiss logos on her stuff.
She does, so all over her trunks or tights or whatever.
And it's also a saying or whatever, right?
Yep. So. Reginald, who I have no idea how he's come to be associated. Can you fill me in on that?
So I don't know this for sure, but I'm just going on
because he's suddenly with Sasha Banks and not Carmella.
Well, he's still with Carmella technically, but so okay. So he teamed with them against Jax and Baszler, and I think Carmella. Don't quote me on that.
I won't.
And I think they need a partner. He was probably there with Carmella, so they're like, they get him to do it. I think the storyline is like he has a crush on Sasha Banks.
But right? Do you think, like, is the story going to be that he's messing with her and he's working on Carmella's
Maybe.
Behalf?
Maybe. I honestly don't care enough to even
that
speculate.
That is a correct answer, but, I would say.
yeah, so.
Okay, well.
It's like he's kind of trying to help them now.
He gets involved in the finish here because he tries to give Banks a shame and pain bottle, I guess, with the idea that she should use it as a weapon. But the referee sort of intercepts this attempt, and in the confusion, Nia Jax hits a pretty sloppy-looking Samoan drop to
Nia
Sasha
Jax?
For the win.
Sloppy?
I know,
what are
that's
you
crazy.
Talking about?
It's actually redundant, right? Like, I don't need to say that. It's just assumed if I say her name.
Yeah.
And I thought that... anyway, so you give your opinions first, and then
Nia
I'll come
Jax
back to you.
Like,
what did you think?
Nia Jax is like goddamn Mabel, and they started the match with her for like a bit.
That was a really odd choice. She had a lot of time in the ring at the beginning, and
she's,
I didn't understand that decision.
I'm not even saying she's like Mabel because she's big. They both have injured people. They both use leg drops and splashes as main moves.
Well, it's that whole they don't know their own strength, right? And
right.
Tend to
and
just...
I think also they don't know what they're doing, period.
Yeah, that's becoming fairly evident, I think, unfortunately, because I hear she's a lovely woman, but... I mean, maybe wrestling's not for everyone,
supposedly,
I guess.
Supposedly so is Lana, but they both suck.
What did you think of the match?
So teaming rivals with each other in a tag match before their match, which we don't know for sure, but I think we can assume that Banks and Belair are going to have a match, right?
I think
it's
so
pretty
too.
Obvious.
That's what I think, yep.
But it's textbook WWE and it not is. In a good way. It's just, it's so stupid. I remember in 2019, this is the most recent example I can think of, Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman won the tag titles from the OC for no good reason.
Right.
And then they faced off and lost the tag titles to goddamn Rudolph. Like, Rudolph? But that was just stupid because it's just like such a weak build to like...
Well,
and
it makes
no sense. Why would they want to team with each other? Even if they're both babyfaces, I don't care. It still does not make sense.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Starting with Nia Jax is unwise because she's like Maple, like I said. And you've also Shayna frickin' Baszler in the match. Like
you're a big fan of.
Yeah.
We both
but
are.
But
she's
great. So
she is.
Although main roster fans probably haven't gotten a chance to see that. And the champs retaining was obvious because Belair and Banks aren't a real team, and the champs have an upcoming match against Kai and Gonzalez, which should be good. Match was filler and not great, and really shows creative's laziness and idiocy. They couldn't be bothered to or figure out more matches for the card that would have been more, not meaningful, but like... better, I guess, and made more sense, I guess. Especially when both of the men's tag titles are not here. when you have Hurt Business, who's pretty decent. And also the Intercontinental title has nowhere to be seen on the show, so match was meh, and Shayna deserves better. Also, Bianca, too.
I feel like maybe it was supposed to be taking steps closer to Belair and Banks somehow having issues, but I didn't see it, right? Like, I don't...
It was more they're both mad at Reginald.
If it was subtle, it was really, really subtle. Yeah, I agree. Starting the match with Nia is not the way to go and how to get me interested in what did for me as well feel like a filler match tonight. I didn't find this interesting at all. I saw nothing useful come out of this. Sasha looks weak to me because she's pinned essentially off of one move, right? It wasn't like she had just been dominated before she took that Samoan drop. It just kind of, that was it and she was done.
Right, that's like a move that Roman Reigns hits and people regularly kick
out
of.
It's just like a transitional, like standard move, right?
Right, and the Usos also have done it a million times. Like, so... Yes, Nia Jax is, like, big, but still, it's a Samoan drop.
Yep.
And I'm sure, I think people have also kicked out of it when she's hit it, too, so.
Probably. As I said, we got no closer to a Banks-Belair match, it didn't feel like to me. This is one step above one of the million distraction roll-ups to end matches that we get on Raw and SmackDown, right? Sure, it wasn't a roll-up, it was a distraction, one move, and
felt
a pin.
Felt like kind of a TV match as well.
And it's the second time already on this show that that finish has basically happened. I thought that this was a big miss, and it made it feel that WWE is just kind of, as you said, lazy in their build for this pay-per-view and couldn't really find anything better to do than this. Another example of pairing singles competitors randomly for a title shot rather than using an existing team or, God forbid, building a team that you could
right.
be a worthy opponent. These titles are pretty much a joke at this point, and I equate them, they're similar to the Cruiserweight Championship.
Right.
And I hope they end up in NXT for a while, and then they can tour to all of the shows, I guess, but there is just more talent in NXT, and I have a stronger belief that Triple H or whoever in NXT will actually allow there to be tag teams.
Maybe even care about them.
Focus on them a little. So, did not like this match, to say the least.
Yeah, we both called it. It was obvious and also boring.
Yep, I agree. So then we get to the main event, which seems crazy, but there was only a few matches on this card, right? Because there was, what was missing? Asuka and...
Lacey Evans.
Right, because that... is obviously
over. That title's also not on the show either.
Nope. So there was very little on the show. So we
couldn't even replace Lacey Evans.
The main event, which I guess I understand why they chose it, obviously because of the end, but not quality-wise.
Well, and it's a title match, I guess.
So for the WWE Championship in the Elimination Chamber, we have Drew McIntyre defending against AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton. So this is where... In this match, more so than the other, I noticed that the pods had been mic'd because you could hear Kofi, remember Randy Orton's trying to stand in front of him kind of menacingly?
And
Kofi's
yeah,
like, I see you flexing your quads, man. They look good. Your legs are looking thick. And it just made me laugh because it's just like,
yeah.
Randy's trying so hard to look intimidating and Kofi's just like, I see you flexing your quads.
He's just messing
dude.
With them.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, and then like Styles is like, uh-oh, scary man coming over here.
You
whatever.
Could hear a lot in the pods. It was kind of funny. So Hardy and Orton... were the first to start, and I don't understand what they were doing, because these, I'm not fans of either of them.
As my brother put it, the two oldest guys were starting the match.
But this was the exact opposite of the first chamber match. These guys were, there was a rest hold within like the first 2 or 3 minutes of this. I'm like, look, there's a chin lock. And Brian and Cesaro started out hot and grabbed my attention, and these two, it was the exact opposite. They were doing nothing in here, and there was a lengthy chin lock within
minutes.
Yeah, and
Jeff's face paint wasn't even that cool.
So I don't understand. These guys are capable of way better than that, so I'm not sure what was going on, but it was not a good start. McIntyre's then the first one out of his pod, and he looked really good as he immediately sort of goes after Orton here. Kingston then makes his entrance into the match, and he quickly scores a pinfall, and kind of a soft-looking pinfall on Orton, I thought. Right away. So Orton's out and he snaps.
Again, another smart move, much like the Corbin elimination.
Yep. And he hits RKOs to Hardy, Kofi before he leaves. And so I like this. I thought this was another kind of clever thing. This was probably the highlight of this match for me, to be honest. As Orton is leaving, Styles, who's still in his pod, hasn't been released yet, calls Omos over and Omos rips the back wall of the pod off so that Styles can escape his pod to enter the match.
Right, even but get if your camera crews out.
Even if it's only a little bit early, right? Because Orton's just RKO'd people in the ring, so he wants in as early as he can. So he
could get an elimination, in theory.
As Orton is exiting, the door is open, so... AJ sneaks in through that open door and tries to get a pin, But unfortunately, both men kick out, which I didn't love because I thought that is a really clever plan. And I think it should have worked. And why do we need both of them still in here, Hardy and Kofi? Because Hardy didn't really do much after this, right? So I thought it should have paid off for AJ because it was a smart thing to do. So then...
And also, I think, because you were suggesting you go back into the pod and just kind of hide.
Yeah.
And I think his pod is technically still locked, right? But he could have gone back into Orton or Drew's pod.
Yeah.
Right? Because we saw Sami Zayn, once it's unlocked, he's able, Sami Zayn was, like, able to manually close it back. Remember when he was trying to stay in the pod? So he could, AJ could manually open it as long as they didn't relock it.
Yes, that's true. So then, which of course, would have been clever. The ref's on it and sends almost to the back now because he has interfered.
Because he actually did something.
Right. McIntyre again takes over until Sheamus's number is called and his pod door opens and he enters. McIntyre and Sheamus obviously go after each other right away, exchanging blows. Kingston and Hardy try to go back on the attack, but they're taken out by Sheamus and McIntyre, who then resume their battle with each other. And man, was Sheamus sweaty. Holy cow. Right?
It's like... It just almost looks oily.
Glistening. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, he looks like freaking Shane McMahon.
He looked like he was overheating, man.
He looks like Shane McMahon after, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, after his entrance, basically, Shane is dripping. We get a rather extended period with all five men in the ring until Sheamus hits Kingston with a brogue kick and Kofi's eliminated. Then we get a twist of fate on Styles. Hardy thinks about hitting the Swanton from the top of the pod, but instead hits Sheamus and McIntyre with a whisper in the wind.
I could see them brawling outside. I knew he was going to do that.
And then Hardy heads back in the ring and hits Styles with the Swanton. But before Hardy could capitalize on the Swanton, McIntyre runs in with a claymore to Hardy, kind of, which I thought was cool, kind of out of nowhere, if you will. And Hardy is eliminated there.
Hey, that's Randy Orton.
I know, but he's already gone, so. McIntyre starts to take punishment as Sheamus hits White Noise, followed by a springboard senton. And I thought it by AJ, which I put down as that 450 take one, because it looked exactly like his 450 off the middle of the top ropes, right? But he didn't quite make the last rotation.
It did look at least decent.
Oh, it did. He actually, but I still think he's just that good, right? He botched it and saved it. Maybe. I mean, maybe it was intentional.
Right, and I think Drew McIntyre looked like he really sold that, because I bet, like, because it was kind of on the fly.
Yeah.
So, right, it probably came down with impact, because Drew's probably preparing for, like, a splash, not, like...
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, and then he got up and did it again, and he did hit the 450 from...
Because it does look good when he gets it.
Oh, so. For sure. Sheamus then takes the fight to AJ and becomes frustrated that Styles hadn't taken out McIntyre yet. Sheamus hits McIntyre with a brogue kick, but Styles comes off the top rope with a phenomenal forearm to Sheamus, and Sheamus is eliminated.
I don't see why you wouldn't let him eliminate McIntyre and then hit a forearm on Sheamus, because, like, you could still hit it.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't, he doesn't want it. You're not eliminating McIntyre, obviously. I guess. I don't know. Styles again tries to come off the top rope for a phenomenal forearm to McIntyre, but McIntyre counters with the claymore. I thought it looked really good, knocking Styles right out of midair, and he retains his title.
Yay.
And then after the match, Bobby Lashley, who I didn't mention because I don't remember
we
where exactly
him.
It happened in the show, right, that you saw Miz and MVP having a brief conversation at one point backstage. So we sort of see the results of that, I guess, as Lashley comes out, attacks McIntyre, just beats on him relentlessly here for a little
bit. But then rolls him back into the ring. I wonder why.
Right? So he dominates McIntyre, throws him around ringside, locks in the Hurt Lock, and then a full Nelson Slam, and then, yes, puts him back in the ring. So before we get into the aftermath, how did you feel about this match so far?
So the match was good to, like, fine.
You liked it more than I did.
I'm not sure, but it dragged in some parts, for sure. AJ was my favorite in this match. I thought him using Omos to get it early was clever, but should have yielded an elimination. Orton and Hardy starting the match was unwise, and as I mentioned, my brother pointed out, they were the two oldest people. They're starting the match.
Yep.
Much like the Royal Rumble.
But that's what
like
we should expect
yeah.
now, right? Like, it's our own fault
similar
for assuming
Royal
anything
Rumble,
else.
Right. Literally, the similar thing happened in the Rumble, because I'm not sure how old Kane is. He might be older than them, but...
He's old.
Right, but they started the Rumble match,
and
too,
I say
right?
that
or
as an old
Edge.
Person.
When you compare it to the opening chamber match, it was not great. This match should have been better than the other one, because it was for the freaking WWE Championship, and it's a main event. McIntyre's midair claymore on AJ was cool, but so predictable. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, it still looked cool.
The match was fine, but not worthy of a main event, in my opinion, which is dumb, because it should have been better. I think on paper, it looks pretty good. I think Drew could have benefited more from a one-on-one with AJ, because I feel like that would be a great match. And they could have had Asuka maybe defend in the chamber or something.
Yeah, I would have liked a women's chamber for sure.
Yeah, because they didn't have one this year. Even my brother was kind of confused. Like, they don't always have to have one, but I think it's usually good to have one.
Yeah, I would, because they have a talent for it, right? So,
right.
I don't think the women's division and is maybe deep, you could get but you Baszler, could definitely get six.
You could even
women.
Give Baszler something better to do. I mean, she wouldn't win, but.
For sure. I was not a fan of this match, and it really dragged for me. I was struggling to get through it. The beginning did nothing to draw me in, and there were just so many times. And I think I'm glad it was just you and me watching, buddy, because I know you don't mind. But if we were in mixed company, because I'm just sitting there getting frustrated, going punch, 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 slap, 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 punch, 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 because that's what it was for a good chunk of this.
Yeah, which is like how they wrestled in like the 80s and stuff.
And I didn't feel that way in the opener at all. I never doubted for a second that Drew would win, and that didn't help either, obviously. The use of almost was clever. I really liked it, but it was for no reason since AJ couldn't eliminate two guys that didn't need to be in the match any longer.
More useful.
Neither of them needed to be in that match any longer. But anyways, the Claymore to Styles out of the air was cool, but this was not a good match in my opinion, especially as you're saying, I agree, like the main event of what is supposed to be a significant pay-per-view on the road to WrestleMania. I thought it was very underwhelming. So then there's obviously some big action after this. So McIntyre has been laid out by Lashley at this attack after the chamber match, so now Miz runs down to the ring with his briefcase and does, in fact, cash in the Money in the Bank contract. He immediately hits a kick to the leg and a basement DDT for a near fall, and then he drives McIntyre into the canvas with a skull-crushing finale, and my goodness, he scores the pinfall and wins the WWE Championship to end this show. And what did you think about that?
It was a surprise.
I agree. I mean, not.
Even though they foreshadowed it earlier in the show.
I don't know if I pointed this out. I've predicted everything else on this show. I'll just take a moment to say. But yeah. I did not predict this.
Yeah.
Gotta rub it in a little.
Yeah.
Picked that's everything, fair. People.
No,
everything.
No, that's fair.
Sorry, go ahead.
But this has to be one of the most poorly timed chamber, or why did I say chamber? Money in the Bank cash-ins, probably along with the Del Rio, because he cashed in Summer of Punk. But this is very poorly timed. I don't get why WWE booked it. They could have waited till after Mania when this is all blown over.
Transitional champion.
Yeah. Look at Money in the Bank go.
Yeah.
Lashley McIntyre clearly is going to be the main Mania match for the WWE title. So Miz is kind of screwed again, which is sucks because he's used to be so good. He's going to likely drop the title before Mania, and after watching Raw, he'll probably do that because Lashley's challenging for the title next week.
Yes.
As was discovered, they made a deal that if Lashley helped him, he'd get a title shot. He'd be first in line. Lashley will probably drop it to Drew, which would also make Lashley look dumb as well as Miz. I think Drew should win it back and then Lashley should win at Mania. But I think they want to replicate Drew's missed Mania moment last year. There's some alliteration for you.
Completely agree. Right. I think that we're going to see Drew as the babyface chasing Lashley, the champion.
Right, and it's literally
Mania.
What was supposed to happen. He's supposed to be the big tyrant, which would have been Brock, but now it's Lashley. It was supposed to be in Tampa, which it's going to be, and it's supposed to be in front of fans.
And I'm happy because Lashley's going to get the championship, and I don't understand how it's taken this long. Like,
right,
look at that guy.
But I almost don't want him to have the championship right now because he's just going to drop it. He'd be almost a transitional champion,
but
too.
I feel like it's almost worth it because you've got that now on your resume, and I even subconsciously, Vince and some other people maybe start to consider you in that light because you've done it before.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I don't know if it'll hurt him. So for the aftermath of this with Miz, for me, it was a surprise for sure, but
right.
Again, I was sort of a little bit wondering what was going on, but now, you know, you think about it and it looks like he will be transitional.
And Miz and Morrison have been doing some dumb crap with Bad Bunny on Miz TV.
So yeah, they're
and
locked
this
in.
This is very sudden,
so
right?
It still looks weird. To me like it's going
to
be Damian Priest and Bad Bunny
right, and I think
Miz and Morrison.
Right, I think
Mania.
You said a similar thing or in your thing that they've got some serious work to do if he is going to Mania, which I don't think he is, but
right.
He's been boring for the past 2 years. His ill-fated face turn, his reunion with Morrison that started good but then just kind of went to crap, and I just don't really care. He used to be good. Like, if he had won the WWE title like in 2017 after he had dropped the Intercontinental title order, no, 2018, then maybe I would have believed this. Maybe he would have been good because he had just come off like those reigns as Intercontinental Champion where he was like, you know, he was really good, right? So yep. I think he's way past his like character peak. I think they can rebuild him, but I think now is really not the time.
They're starting from a low point for us because we've seen Miz is one of the things we have seen lately because we've tried to watch Raw.
Because we always watch the beginning.
He opens every show basically and it's been pretty bad every time.
I think they just give him crap.
But if heel Miz, if you kind of make him less of a joke and a little more serious, he can be really,
right,
really awesome.
Right, because remember he was like all about, because he was like not on the one show or whatever, on SmackDown or whatever, yeah. And like he cut that the Talking Smack promo.
Which was amazing.
Right.
And that promo you sent me was good too after he'd had won the title. He,
right, when he's serious.
Yeah, he's
like,
good.
Right, so, like he cares and he's like, I'm the best and whatever, you know?
So I don't exactly know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure he won't be involved in the match at Mania for the belt because I think it'll be off him and it's a Drew Lashley, but we'll see. I guess the bottom line is WWE can say the briefcase got cashed in, right?
They provided successfully.
They provided a surprise on a pay-per-view,
the meaningless show.
And then they've found ways to restore things to the way they want them before WrestleMania. So I get their decision, and it's kind of a cool to put a surprise at the end because this show didn't do much for me. So I appreciate that they at least tried to surprise me with something, I guess, at the end.
Right.
Overall thoughts on this show and a letter grade, sir?
The opening chamber match is good. Match of the night. Didn't have much competition, however. Bryan and Cesaro definitely deserve some praise for their work here. I think they did great in their match. The US title is fine, but nothing special or super interesting. And Riddle definitely deserves it. I'm interested to see what he does, but I also don't trust WWE at all.
That's fair.
The women's tag match was filler and crap, and poor Shayna. She was so good in NXT. I know I've said this many times, but she just deserves so much better.
She
right?
does.
Like,
she's a killer. She's
right. They
she's
just,
Brock Lesnar, female form,
and
if you book her
instead,
right.
She gets the high privilege of teaming with Nia Jax.
Yep.
And the main event was fine and should have been booked better and should have been a better match in general, but... Main roster WWE? Nah. Miz cashing in was a surprise, but it feels like it was only so they could say something notable happened on this pointless pay-per-view.
They will focus on that for sure.
Right.
Because there wasn't
something
anything
happened.
Else to
you never
focus
know
on.
What can happen in WWE.
That's right.
The opener was not enough to save this boring excuse for a pay-per-view. chamber matches used to be an exciting attraction, like Hayak or TLC. Why I said Hayak.
Hayak.
On the cell.
That's funny.
But now it's a yearly thing like those, which means they need excuses every year to book one because it's on its own pay-per-view, and sometimes they're good, but when they actually like put in a good feel, like I feel like this one suffered because the main event did, sorry, that because they forced it to be former WWE champions. You had a bunch of other guys who are pretty good who aren't former WWE champions, but the match would have benefited, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that it had to be former WWE champions kind of did not help.
No,
really?
there was really no new talent in either of the matches, was
right.
there?
The show, no, there wasn't.
No.
Really. The show was short, but not good, so it's a C for
that
me.
Is one of the pluses, is that it was short, for sure, because
right,
it really was.
Not, like, good, like, NXT, so.
So I was not a fan of this show overall, either. I really enjoyed the SmackDown Chamber match and the U.S. title match, and then that was pretty much it. The women's tag match just wasn't good, and neither was the slow, in my opinion, plodding, predictable Raw chamber match. Miz casting in and winning was a surprise for sure, but I have it's kind of like a surprise, like getting a birthday present that you didn't really want, right? Like, I'm not that in, like, sure, it's nice that I got something, but it's a sweater I'm never going to wear, so how great is it really? He needs to do a complete 180 into a more serious character as soon as possible, but it is possible, and I guess he doesn't need to if he's losing the belt next week, possibly, I guess, so we'll see. The show
most
felt
likely.
Overall felt kind of lazy to me, despite two titles changing hands, I guess, and one being quote-unquote shocking. It still felt kind of like a basic show. On the plus side, as we said, really short. The interactions between Cesaro and Bryan I thought were great. Lashley looks right. super strong, even in defeat, and may get involved in the main event picture, it looks like, which is long overdue, in my opinion, especially because he has somebody to talk for him.
You know what's kind of disappointing
MVP.
Is I think... I don't know how Fastlane, the most pointless pay-per-view in recent memory, could be more pointless than this show. Like, I don't know how it can be topped.
We'll see. We could try. I'm not sure where they're going with Miz exactly, although it looks like we may have a good idea. I guess that's the point. But personally, I don't care enough to tune into Raw. And then I put, although Jack may make me watch some. And you did, as I predicted.
If I see something like some of some interest, like a go home or like a, sorry, not a go home, but like a post show or something, but.
It was, the payoff wasn't great for you on Raw.
No.
In the end.
Got the ultimatum countdown.
I'm glad I didn't pay for this, and it offered little that interested me.
Imagine the people still buying pay-per-views.
I know. I'm going to be a little nicer. I'm going to give it a C+.
Yeah, I saw you change
just bumped it up, because I did like the opener, and I did kind of enjoy the U.S. title, and then it was really short.
I was going to keep it.
And I liked Bryan and Cesaro. So neither of us really like this. A C grade in the C range for us is not very good.
Yeah, and if you guys like these pay-per-view reviews, I really hope this... this episode does well, because it's going to be really hard to keep doing these main roster reviews, especially.
Sometimes it's fun to talk about bad stuff, but this was almost not bad enough, because then it would be more fun. It was like,
I didn't even get to rant that much.
No,
I only got to rant about Edge, and that's it.
There was nothing that really upset me. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't want it to go on. Really. There wasn't much. Anyways. Yeah. So a C+ show, you give it a C. So it wasn't great. There was a couple decent things, and otherwise overall not so good.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd need to discuss before we sign off,
sir? Miz is now a 2-time Grand Slam champion.
That is correct.
Which is something. Interesting.
That's it's a feather in his cap.
Only person to do so. Right. So that's interesting.
Yep. So I guess that brings us to the end of this episode. And unless, I don't know if I'll end up putting anything out before the Saturday flagship show, as I like to say, it's possible. But if not, we will definitely be back on Saturday with episode 32.
Always.
Correct. And that's where we're going to be covering, as we usually do, AEW Dynamite, NXT, ROH, if I don't talk about it before then, Impact, if I don't talk about it before then, some trivia, some news, whatever else comes up. So please, if you're this is your first time listening to us.
I've seen some new figure reveals, so I'll talk about those.
Right. Well. If you like what you hear, come back and join us on Saturday, where we spend at least a couple hours just nerding out on wrestling conversations that we would have anyways, but now we record them so that you can join us, you lucky people. So anyways, thank you for any time that you give us this week to listen to our shows, and we hope you enjoyed it, and we hope to see you back here on Saturday. And until then, take care.